You ever wonder why we even need the Church of Jesus Christ? And if it is so important, why are there so many problems and messes in the church? I'd like to invite you to the West Coast Bible Conference called the Corinthianization of the Church, where we look at the problems that happened and that Paul addressed in first century Corinth. We're going to be taking this up on April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. I will be speaking at the conference, Pastor Danny Hyde and Dr. Lee Gaddis. This is through the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. You can register now at alliancenet.org. Again, alliancenet.org. Or you can call 1-800-488-1888. Again, 1-800-488-1888. We would love to see you at the conference. If you're a regular listener to Abounding Grace Radio, I would love to meet you. We have an exciting conference planned where we're going to deal with issues such as celebrity pastors, sexual morality, communion chaos, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. This is such an important conference for our day. If you're in this area, this is right in Carlsbad at the Carlsbad Community Church, do please join us for this conference. Again, the Corinthianization of the Church, April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. We would love to see you there. Visit again to register for the conference at alliancenet.org.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Remarkable how much attention Jesus gave to the hearing of his word. In other words, the importance of people to come and sit and listen to the proclamation of his word. Jesus dealt with a great problem in his day of many people hearing him without listening to him. There were a variety of responses in the gospel to his ministry, which is just shocking. And Jesus is using that to teach us the importance of paying very careful attention to his gospel program that he has set up on the face of this world of preachers to preach the good news to you. This is the means by which he brings people to glory, to heaven, to salvation. So important. We're going to look at this today from this little parable of the lamp that follows the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. That is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And if Abounding Grace Radio is a blessing to you, we ask humbly for your prayerful and your financial support. It enables us to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. So do please let us know how these programs are a blessing to you. Well, here is now part two of a program that we started yesterday from Mark chapter 4 on the parable of the lamp. It's a parable about hearing the word of God. And we hope today this is a great blessing to you in your continued growth and understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. He has preached the gospel everywhere. He has come and thrown open his arms saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." He's announced it on every hilltop. "I desire mercy and not judgment." He said it. That's what I desire. I desire in this day of salvation to give you guys all mercy and not judgment. Isn't that a remarkable statement? That's his light. What is that light doing? Exposing hearts. You could apply this in a few different ways, but there are undoubtedly people here for all sorts of different reasons. Be honest today. Be really honest today. As this challenge, that's Jesus' purpose. His intention is to challenge with the goal of bringing you into the light. So this is a positive challenge. The most pressing thing we have always taught and has not been appreciated as it should, and we're trying so hard to recover that,
is the great importance that you come and your drastic need to hear the word of the Lord. That's the reason everyone's here today. The reason. Think of all the dynamics and challenges that go into this. Think of it just for a minute. 400 to 500 people sitting here, all hearing the same message today. In your brains, the truth is hopping around right now. You're processing it. God gave you a processor. But proper response contingent on how you hear it, how you're hearing it. Think then of this challenge right now. Just think of the real challenge of what's going on right now. Do you think there could be listeners here today who think they don't need much of any of this? Well, of course. They don't know what they need. And they don't really find it that appealing. Do you think we could have people here today whose heart is not in this whatsoever? It's merely other factors that bring them into these doors. I don't have to go through the factors. You know what those factors might be. Do you think there's somebody here right now who's really flirting with choosing a path of sin and is about ready to bolt and therefore can't hear or is in that path of rebellion? Do you think worry is so pressing down on some people right now? Do you think worry is so bearing down on some people in the course of their life that they are having a real hard time hearing the word of God to any profit? Do you think people ever stay away from church because of that? Something's gone wrong, they've had a conflict with someone. I'm not going today. You think that goes on? Do you think? You think it's possible the pastor said one thing in the course of the ministry and that has been the thing that has bothered you and shut you down so that you can no longer receive this ministry? One thing that's bothered you. What happens when our ideas of Jesus, whatever they might be, are not in line with his message? And in other words, do you think people tune out what troubles them about the Bible when they hear the things they don't like? Or directly then comes close, too close to home? Judgment, sin. In fact, how many want nothing to do with what Jesus is saying and have made a decision today? How many know they should be in church and have made a decision to say no, thank you to the Word of God? Now put this in context for a minute. My lamp is burning bright. My lamp is shining. I'm not the problem here. But my lamp is revealing those kinds of responses off in the corner. I've put my light up. I have shined it for thousands of years, and that light is revealing today who has come to the light and who is remaining in the darkness. Now, do you see how that presses us? That's his intention here. What does Jesus do at this point? Here is his famous line. Right after he says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have the ability to hear me right now, I want you to really take in what I'm saying to you. I want it really to come home to your hearts. I want you really, 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 really to listen to me right now. And then he gives the most pressing call. I don't know how to capture it so strongly, but listen, listen, listen. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This may be one of the greatest gospel calls that we have missed. Maybe one of the greatest gospel calls that we've missed. Maybe one of the most underrated statements of Jesus in the Bible. So important. Maybe the most important thing that he could say to you right now in your life. What is it? Ready? Pay attention to what you are hearing. You see it? Pay attention. really take this in. I'm taken by that response because this was the Son of God. This was the preacher of all preachers. The best preacher the world has ever known, they got to stand and sit and listen to. And he had the problem of many not paying attention. We have to feel how real that is today because the New Testament says he's still preaching. He's still doing this today. That's the ministry of the word. It's the ministry of the gospel. It's a matter of life and death. That's why this is the punch to the parable of the sower. But there's so, and this is what I don't want you all to miss here. This has the intention of grace in it. It's wrapped up with grace, isn't it? Why is he saying this? Why is he saying this? Because it's weighed down with concern for you. Be so careful when you come to hear. In fact, Luke says, pay attention how you listen. How you listen. There's what and how. Really embrace my message, says Jesus, and think a lot about what's being presented to you. And you stop again and you're reminded, what was his message? What was Jesus' message? What was he saying? It would be something if Jesus ran around and came to this earth and said, you're all doomed for hell. You're all going there. You're all going to be scorched. He had nothing more to say. That we would expect to earn the angry response, right? But that hasn't been his message. What was he doing? Well, he's surely warning about the judgment to come, but he's calling people to come to him and know the love of God in the gospel. That's his intention. This is the Savior. I'm the Savior of the world. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. This is the Son of God speaking to us. So that he wanted people to so take in his message that they would, by faith, receive it and be saved and forever be with him in glory. That's his intention. That is his intention for you. This whole plea may be the most gracious, loving plea he made because in it, he was offering to you the remedy for your sins. He's offering you the remedy and the pathway to heaven. And then come back to thinking about how have we really treated listening to his word? And that's what's absolutely mind-boggling. It's that the masses could respond to him in this way. What in the world? Why? And not take seriously his word when that was his message and that was his goal. So doesn't that fact alone impress upon us the great precautions and the great care that we should take to hearing his word? Now we come back to the parable itself. We see what he's doing. He just said, he is the lamp. He did not come intend for us to be in darkness. He came to expose the dark corner of our hearts. He came to expose the darkness we are in. And by his light that we would come and that all would be brought out into the open and that we would hear and that our deeds would be exposed. That we would say we're sinners and that we need you as our light to save us. That's the kind of moment we should all have. I'm going to illustrate for you how this works and the problem now. I try to provide a concrete illustration, and there's a really good one. Where is the great parable? Where do we find a great parable being told in the Old Testament? Boys and girls might know. There's one great parable that was told. It was by Nathan the prophet. Remember why? Well, the greatest king, the Old Testament, King David. King David, a man after God's heart, had just committed one of the worst sins. Remember? He committed adultery, and then he had with Bathsheba, and then had her husband murdered, and had ultimately the greatest sin we don't talk about a lot, trash the name of the Lord to Israel. It's what the Lord raised. You've scorned my name. Everyone gets to mock now. Remember what happened? The Lord did something in incredible mercy. He sent Nathan, the prophet, and Nathan does this. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." David's sitting here processing in the brain this parable. It's terrible. That is terrible. I'm a king. I can deal with that. Did David not know that adultery was wrong? Of course he did. Did David not know that murder was wrong? Of course he did. He had heard the law of God all his life. Did David not know that he shouldn't trash the name of the Lord and take it in vain? Of course he did. What was wrong with David's heart? He functionally, at that moment, was the soil on the path. Why? It went in one ear and went right out the other, and he could get mad at somebody else for his sin. It's a remarkable moment. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing because he had no pity." Yeah, exactly. Doesn't that say something about your hearing? You see it illustrated, the problem? You can hear and not hear. You can see and not see, and you think you do. It's just what Jesus is saying. Did David pay careful attention to what he was hearing? The parable at this point, because of his sin, listen to this, because of his sin, blinded him to his own life. And you see, that is how we could hear and not hear. That is how we could hear and not hear, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That is how we could hear and not hear, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And then get mad at somebody else or blame the messenger, which he could have done. But what happened? That parable was intended to bring him into the light. That parable was intended to bring him into the light. And hearing turned to listening when Nathan said, "You are that man." He could have fought that. Did he? What were the next words out of his mouth? "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan then shows the intention of God in the parable. It's, "Don't fear. God has put away your sin." That's just remarkable. What a God we have. "For God said, 'Let light shine out of darkness.' May this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And when we see him who visited us, who came to us to save us, to love us, to speak to us, we say, 'Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned. I'm hearing now. It's me. I have sinned. I now see me and I now see Jesus.'" That's hearing. And that's the kind of hearing, he says, that's lasting. That's the good soil. It's that kind of effect that the word should be having on our life. And Jesus concludes with what I believe, depending on how you're taking in what's being said to you right now, either the greatest encouragement to you or the worst news you could ever get. It's either or, depending on where you are. He says, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Here's the punch. Here's the hard hit of the parable of the sower, all intending grace. Pay really careful attention to the ministry of the word to you, because with the measure you use it, remember I said earlier, hold on to that, by diligent use of the means of grace, with the measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. If you hear, more will be given. That is so encouraging. Use it, use it, use it, use it. Be here, be here, be here, be here. Which some, we've said this to all our life, and they don't seem to hear that call. Use it. Use it. This is his plea. Devote your life to this. If there's one thing you're going to devote your life to that's really going to matter, devote your life to this, he says. There are many things that you're doing right now that are not profiting your soul and that you think are profiting your soul and they're not. I'm giving you the answer that will profit your soul. I'm giving you the answer this morning, and it's free. This is how God communicates to you. This is how God makes himself known to you. God has always dealt with sinful human beings this way. He has spoken his word. And he says, by that word, I preserve you. And it pleases me to save you through the spoken word. This is why Heidelberg says that the preaching of the gospel opens the kingdom of heaven to believers and shuts it to unbelievers. It's right here in this particular parable. It opens heaven's door and it closes it so that the very truth of what Jesus said, to those who hear, more will be given, that the ultimate destination when they hear is heaven. And Jesus says, you watch the fruits that will flow in your life from this. You watch. Those who reverently and joyfully, those who receive my word and accept my word humbly and believe my word, oh, I'm going to add a lot. He just said, I'm going to add a lot to you. The gospel will fill you. The joy of your salvation will drive you. You're going to grow and you're going to grow and you're going to grow. That's the 30, 60, and 100 fold of the parable of the good soil. I'm going to measure it back, to which I say, if you find yourself spiritually dry, miserable, complaining about everything under the sun, I can trace that back most likely not to a lack of devotions. I can trace that back to your very attitude to the Word of God when you come here. What place does hearing have in your life? To those who hear, I'm going to measure it back, he says. He said that. And the truth of what Jesus also says here is shown in their lives. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It harkens back to the first soil who heard it and the devil came and pulled it. That kind of person, represented by the first three soils, walk a course of path, a path of pining away. But those who have known his power know the forming influence of the word, that there is real power here. There is real power here. I have this phrase. We'll close with this. I have this phrase in my Bible. I wrote down, I think about the time of my profession of faith. I still have my Bible, and I'm thinking of you too. Sin will either keep me from this book, or this book will either keep me from sin. It was a popular phrase going around at the time. You ever heard that one? Sin will either keep me from this book will either keep me from sin. I think we can do better. Hearing with all my heart will keep me in God's grace from the path of sin and destruction. Or sin, and the choice to not to hear will keep me from his word and hearing it with profit. It's a tragedy today that the ministry of preaching is the most undervalued aspect of worship today. Never did God say through the use of music, use it, use it, use it, you'll be blessed this way. Never did he say these sort of things and all the things that we're after today in the church. Never did he say those sort of things. Bill, have the church be what you want it to be, and it'll be something for you. People aren't kept that way. I can't help but to close with how wonderful the grace of God is to us. We all know the ability to hear is a gift of grace. And you all know, feeling the weight of that this morning, the barriers are too strong. But think of what he means when he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Psalm 143, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." He who hears the word that way, to the profit of the soul, taken by the wonders of love and grace, he promises you something today. You will never lack. He will not disappoint you. He will satisfy you more and more and more in the knowledge of his love. So I hope all of us today hear him when he says, "Pay attention to what you hear." It's the most important thing he could say to you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you press us where we need to be pressed. We are thankful for your word, which breaks into our hearts, and we realize how shallow we are with your word, and how in the course of our lives we've heard many sermons, and the most trivial, superficial of things have blocked us from hearing it. And so we fully express our dependence upon you and your spirit to break through to these matted hearts, that they would be hearts of flesh that receive your word with profit, and that we do not go in the path of Israel who heard the word but did not mix it with faith, but that we would hear your word and believe. Thank you. You care to give us this and do this for us. May every single member here today, church, hear with profit and pay attention to what they hear and be the good soil that bears great fruit, some 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.